going to remain standing as we read together from Paul's letter to Timothy. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Michael, please, take a seat.
I think it's a really wonderful thing that Paul has actually such a pastoral heart in writing his letters. We often get tied up with all the theology that is packed into the letters, but we often forget that big heart that he had, and those little flourishes at the beginning and end often of his letters, where he mentions people by name and just asks little things about them, which I think is a very important touch and something that's very important for us to remember. And here is a very important thing where he is engaging with Timothy and providing instruction and encouragement. And I think, you know, I really wish that in my Christian walk I had had someone that gave me this kind of strong encouragement, pastoral encouragement, much sooner in my Christian walk. And I think there are plenty of people around me during my Christian walk that could have done that. I don't think there was a shortage. One of the things that I think, actually, is probably here in England, that sense of English reserve and humility probably meant that a number of people were a little reserved about saying anything that they thought might be too grandiose about their own life and Christian walk. But I think sometimes it is really important, particularly in a one-to-one situation, that we do share something about our Christian walk and our struggles and the different things that we face as we go along the way. Now, I was really blessed that eventually I met a lovely Christian couple who did provide that. And the husband, particularly, he had been through quite a lot. He had been a young child in China between the First and Second World War. And he had grown up in a very harsh mountain environment. His father was a Bible translator. It's one of the languages of the hill tribes. And then, as the Second World War came about, he had been interred into a Japanese civilian prisoner of war camp. He was in the same camp as Eric Liddell, the British Olympian gold medalist. And it was there that his Christian faith developed, as Eric Liddell took the youth aside and taught them to pray and encourage them. And he told my friend Stephen to pray for the Japanese. And my friend Stephen Metcalf went on to become a missionary to Japan, where he met his wife Evelyn. And they mentored me, and they told me about their struggles and the persecution they had faced, etc. And you know, that's what's in here. You know, that's Christian passing on their struggle, their instruction, their teaching, their life in Christ from one to another. And I think that's something very important for us to remember, wherever we're at in life. And the first thing that Paul does is he points out that relationship and how they know, how he knows about that history. Because obviously this isn't the first time that they've, you know, they have a relationship, an ongoing relationship. And if we pull up the beginning, he says, you know about my teaching. Another word for that would be doctrine. So you know what I believe in, my doctrine, my way of life. So how I live that out. My purpose, my faith. This is interesting because let's be clear, although I'm going to do a little bit of talking about it, you haven't got the translator here today. The translator's down the road. But I am going to be talking about some translation stuff. So this is an interesting verse because you get both types of patience crop up in this. So faith, patience, which sometimes is rendered long-suffering. Love, endurance, or perseverance, sometimes rendered patience. Persecutions, sufferings. So these are all the things that are known, how this person is living out their faith. This is how they're living out their faith and their experience of what it is to be a Christian. And the key thing, that with being a Christian comes, now sometimes it would be very dramatic, but many of us might have experienced it in other ways, persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. I could stand up and say to you, as someone who's been a missionary linked to MIE since 2003, the kinds of things that happened to me in Salt, in Mafraq, and in Ipswich. The persecutions I endured. If we go on to the next one. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. And that's also a key thing when we go through that testimony. Because I can say with certainty that the Lord rescued me from each of the persecutions. Sometimes when I've gone through sufferings and difficulties and challenges, I have wondered when the light would appear at the end of the tunnel. But each time that I have gone through the experiences that I have gone through as a child of God, each time that has been more reinforcing, that the knowledge and the memory of the things that the Lord has brought me through, as well as the things that I know the Lord has brought other people through, has reinforced in me the fact that the Lord can bring me through the next thing. And the knowledge that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And I'm going to use an odd illustration next, because it says here, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, a while ago, I was in this church preaching, not on a global Sunday, and a certain gentleman at this church had recently been knocked off his bike. I don't know whether any of you remember a gentleman at this church who'd been knocked off his bike. Anyway, we had a conversation just through there, And we were talking about, well, what could you do to not have such challenges as getting knocked off your bike or any of the challenges that you face as a Christian? And essentially that was the answer. You wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't face these challenges. But, you know, God gets us through and God rescues us. And as I stand here today, I notice that he seems perfectly able to walk around, and as far as I know, unless anyone can tell me differently, Mark can still cycle around. And the evildoers and imposters, we all know that they're out there, they're going on, they're doing stuff from, you know, they are deceiving, but they're being deceived. But we have the reassurance that the Lord will rescue us. And the experience that we have, the testimony from our own lives, and the testimony from the lives of experienced Christians that have walked the walk, is something that we can learn from. Whether it's written down, whether you read a biography of a missionary or a strong Christian of the past, or whether you talk to someone, you can be encouraged by that. And there's many accounts, of course, in the Word. We move on. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it. And there's also something very important here. We've been talking about that doctrine, but also we've looked at, there are those that are the evildoers who are doing wrong and being deceived. And there are those things which Timothy has seen and learnt from Paul's life. And as we read elsewhere from his grandmother and others. So there is these model examples that he has learnt from and has learnt in the faith. But there's an important thing here, because there is a distinction in the way of life. We saw at that beginning point where Paul is talking about, you know my doctrine, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my love, my endurance, persecution, sufferings, and what kinds of things happen to me. And there is a package there that you can use to discern those role models that you have in your life from whom you learn doctrine and interpretation or teaching of the scripture. So if someone comes in here and is invited to come in and preach, and you think, well, actually, you know, what they said is a bit off, and what they've been doing is a bit off, you know, then you've got something to consider there. We'll go on. You know who you've learnt it, and you know and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And so there you have it. The other benchmark which makes you wise for salvation is from reading the Scriptures regularly. Now, here, Timothy had been, from a young age, familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures. He'd then been used to the writings of the apostles, and obviously had received letters from Paul. Now, but he had been studying the Old Testament from his youth. We have both. We have a full package here. So, wise, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that's a really important thing, that faith in Christ Jesus and the reading of the scriptures provides wisdom for daily living and for the interpretation of those things around us. As we move on, now this is where we get to something where I'm going to go into translation a little bit, and where we go into something that's often a bit controversial. So a number of translations have rendered all scripture is inspired. Here it says God breathed. Now, this is all Greek to me, so I'm going to make some strange symbols. I know that doesn't much look like Greek, but anyway, I'm not going to draw Arabic. So, I don't know what they are. We can pick various Greek letters, I suppose, Delta, Omicron, whatever you like. Now, the reason for the confusion in this is you can split the word up. Now, in Greek, the whole thing runs through. And this word is essentially a new word. And you can either choose to split it in two, or you could split it in three. Now, if you split it in three, what you will come up with is, I might actually attempt to say this, I'm going to be very bold and actually attempt to say this, so, Theopatonopsis, I think. I won't guarantee that's correct pronunciation. But anyway, if you split it in three, what you come up with is God, breath, or wind, and in. So inspired seems like a reasonable thing, or God breathed in. Now, if you split it differently, if you split it in two, you still come up with the two bits. Now, if any of you have ever tried to take a holiday and you wanted to have a lie-in and suddenly you hear what the Americans call a jackhammer pounding away outside your door and you're woken up by this noise early in the morning, you will know the power that is in what we call a pneumatic drill. And the word, if you split it in two, is pneumatic, which is powered by air. And so, God breathed. So that is the power of relating, pneumatic means relating to breath or wind. And so the force that is in there, it's a bit of a scientific term, so a number of people might not relate to it, but I would go with the idea of God breathed rather than inspired. Perhaps that's because I'm maybe a bit too medical. But anyway, the idea of that power of the something that has the full force from God to be able to break through. So scripture is God-breathed. It is from God and it is useful for teaching. It is useful for rebuking. It is useful for correcting. And that's correcting error in the original. It's useful for training, which can also be rendered straightening from what I was looking up, in righteousness. So, and so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work or every good labor. And in case you think that this might be looking at something where there is somehow having to work your way towards God, this is about the labors that God is providing for you to do. What God is calling you to do. Scripture is going to equip the servant of God to do what he has called them to do. And it is going to be a tool that you can use for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting error, and for training in righteousness. And it's something that can be used for you to do, and it's something that can be used by a friend, a teacher, on you, or as you're reading through it, that God can use upon you, where you're convicted and you realize what God is saying through his word, and changing your life, transforming it. So, although this might look like something small that I have in my hand, this is far more powerful than the drill that breaks through the tarmac and soil and everything else outside your house. This is a book that can transform lives. And I thoroughly recommend that you get into it and you read it. And that you read it, if English isn't your first language, I suggest you read it in your own language so that it's something that's close to your heart and you understand it. But I thoroughly recommend that you get into it and you grasp what's in there. God bless you.